Hosting on Airbnb is easy. I have total control of my home and my time.
So, if I wanted to, I could just host every other weekend. Or, when I happen to be away with work.
Or just the August bank holiday weekend.
But not on a full moon. Or even a leap year.
Your house. Your rules. Become a host today on Airbnb.
Hello? Is anyone listening? Finally, you're hearing me. I was sexually abused as a child, and in the past was let down by organisations I trusted. That's why the Truth Project was set up. It's part of the independent inquiry into child sexual abuse, which aims to give me the opportunity to share my experience confidentially and without judgment. Because getting a better picture of the past will help build a safer place for children in the future.
If you were sexually abused as a child, visit truthproject.org.uk.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Susie going toe to Tobin.
Anna.
God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Savannah, it's my birthday month, Cookcroft, Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens,
the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye olde browse. I'm Ronnie. I'm also from the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, and I'm with my little bestie, internet husband and co-host, Mr. Ben Mandelker. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Welcome to Real Housewives of Dallas Day, y'all. First,
oh my God,
I'm going to do this really fast, guys, because I know when you listen to this every day, it gets annoying, okay? So get ready. Here we go. Live shows. New York next week. Our next Dallas recap will be live from the Gramercy Theater in New York City. And that is Thursday night next week. And then Friday, we're going to be doing Real Housewives of New York, the second Morocco episode, season 4, episode 10.
It's the third Morocco episode.
God, I cannot get that. I've not done that right once.
No, it's season 4, episode 10. You were correct about that. Season 4, episode 10, and Last Call Morocco.
Okay, so that. Then in November, we're going to Seattle, and December, we're going to Nashville. Go get your tickets. Also, tickets go on sale this week, Friday morning, for the annual Crappy Awards in January. We've only got about 150 tickets for that, so get your ass over there and get you some tickets. That's always a star-studded event, and it's going to be a huge party. So go get your tickets for that. And we're still looking into a second date for Charleston. Hopefully we'll announce that soon. And that's it for that. Get your Hey Betch t-shirts. It's the last week for that because I'm on a little bit late of a schedule. So go get those over at watchwhatcrappens.com. That's also where you'll find ticketing links. Okay? Scroll down. There's a little schedule of all our live shows. Thanks to everybody. Can't wait to see you in New York. Thank you for listening to Crappens. And goodbye. We are done.
Oh, I'm excited for everything we have coming up over the next 4 months. But most importantly, I'm excited to talk about Real Housewives of Dallas because it was so funny last night. Oh, my God. So good.
They tricked us, you know, because we opened this episode with the kids screaming. And I was like, God damn it, Brandy. But it wasn't Brandy's kids. It was Cameron's.
Yeah. And we should have realized it wasn't Brandy's kids because they screamed for only like a few seconds and then settled down. So so Cameron's like, Mommy and Daddy don't know Espanol. So we're trying to learn all the terms of cooking in Espanol.
it's important that our kids know Spanish because there are other countries in the world and our kids need to be able to talk to those.
And as we know, every country that's not America speaks Espanol.
They've learned Spanish since they were babies. Half the world speaks Spanish. How are they going to talk to half the world if they don't speak Spanish?
They have to learn Spanish. It's important because the world speaks Spanish.
Have you seen... Oh, look.
That's all.
How do you say mommy in Spanish? You're like, puta gringa! It's like, very good, kids. Very good. Mm-hmm.
How do you say butter in Spanish? Mobolcito? No. Muy bien.
She goes, how do we... Oh, Court's like, I know how to say it. It's Montequilla. I'm a fat kid. I was like, well, that explains a lot. I mean, look, I'm a fat kid too, but I'm better than you, okay? Smile a little, Court. Pick it up. Pick it up, Court.
I swear half the world speaks Spanish. If you don't know Spanish, how are you going to talk to half the world? Luckily, Court knows some Spanish. He can say Montecito.
I know how to say animals. Perro, dog, cat, polo, elefanto, face makeup, chicken, donkey. Now you're just saying English words.
Carpet. Handbag.
Everything.
Dumb blondes get noticitoed. Smart blondes get everything go.
Are you going to make a to-do list or a toto list?
Now my kids can read signs that janitors leave on floors. So she's like, even though Court is super critical of Sparkle Dog, I'm going to keep pursuing this because it's important to me and Sparkle Dog.
And Court's like, remember when mommy cooked and we almost burned down the house, idiot? And she's like, you love that pumpkin elefanto, okay? You loved it. And the lady's like, who says I? This is so good. She goes,
the girl, the little girl. The little girl goes, ay. I think it was Hilton said, ay.
Yeah, Cameron goes, what does that mean? She's like, it means goodness or something. And she's like, uh-oh, my Spanish is muy terrible-io.
So then Court does basically whatever. He basically is like, okay, well, I'm a former fat kid, and I now suddenly have... I suddenly have resentment towards my wife about all this, so I'm going to force her to eat a cupcake on camera. He's like, hey, Cruz, you think mommy could eat this whole cupcake in one bite? And she's like, oh, my God, are you making me do this? Yeah, put it in your mouth. Yeah. And she basically stuffs a cupcake in her mouth, which, you know, is mortifying for her.
Yeah, and then she spits it all over the floor because, you know, they've got the lady who speaks Spanish there to clean it up.
Sorry, Cito, about the cupcakeio on Del Floor.
Limpio up my barfito from my abusive husbandio. Okayo.
El shorto dissatisfied mano.
Dumb maids make cupcakes. Smart maids clean chewed cupcakes off the floor.
I would never bash an adopted cupcake.
So Dandra is at home with second chance stepkid.
Cohen. And he's in the kitchen clearly making a sandwich. And Dandra walks in and goes, hey, what you doing, making a sandwich? It's like, yes, he literally has just put the second piece of bread on top of a stack of cold cuts.
And isn't it amazing how he's like the hot version of the nerdier guy? They look like they're played by the same actor. It's very like double trouble happening.
Yeah.
There.
It's very double trouble as play. It's almost I felt like there was something pertaining to Rob Lowe in this, but I guess not. But I feel like Rob Lowe would play Cohen and the other one in the movie version of Cohen and the other one, you know?
Yeah. Is this a parent trap? So Dandra is like trying real hard. She's like, you like school? You like school? You gonna move here with me? Come on, let me cuddle you. Let me cuddle you. Come here, cuddle, cuddle.
I can be maternal. I'm his stepmother, like, but I'm also his friend.
He's like, yeah, I'm considering transferring here. It's like the other one just didn't get how fucking good he had it. Okay? Like, I will sleep in the closet. I literally don't care. She's like, great. We are becoming closer. He is on break. And I am his stepmother, but I'm also his friend. You making a sandwich?
Hey, fake son. I have a question. What do you think about my sleeves? I got 3 stars and 3 banana peels on them. What do you think about that? Sort of like a Mario Kart thing that I'm going for, but not really.
After last year's complete failure with Keaton, I've decided to try again. Okay? Now, don't bring laundry unless the maid is here, okay? Because it will be pink. It will be pink because I don't need laundry. Okay.
And I'm just going to circle back about that question about my sleeves. You still haven't answered. Do you like the stars and banana peels? Does that work for you? Is that a good look? No?
Ding dong. I think Leanne's here. No, it's me, your mother. Let me in.
Yeah, so Mama D shows up. She's like, and then Deandra's like, ha, Cohen's here. And D's like, goes from being like, to, oh, is he? Oh, I'm so happy that the grandson I will never have is here.
Well, hello there, Cohen. Now, who's more gorgeous? Do not lie just because you don't want to make Deandra cry on your sandwich.
Now say something nice about Deandra's ridiculous sleeves, because I don't want her to feel jealous of me.
Oh, Cohen, look at you making a sandwich. That mayonnaise is in a jar. Take a hint, Deandra.
How do you like that jarred mayonnaise? I bet it would taste real weird out of a pouch, huh? Well, Cohen, why don't you tell my mother about that Capri Sun you just drank out of a pouch? How about that, Cohen? Oh, a pouch! A pouch! Oh, that's nice. Oh, I hope you don't drop that pouch on the floor and step on it by accident, because, you know, pouches do not hold up like a good old mayo jar.
He's like, hello, Mama D. And he gives her, like, a really warm hug. And she's like, what is this? Someone get this towel off of me, please.
Do I pet its fins? Those are shoulder blades. Oh, okay. Tap, tap, tap,
now,
tap.
Listen here, walrus. Me and your wish she was your mother instead of a dried out old bone are going to have a business meeting, so you might want to put some earplugs on. Okay.
Hey, did you just make yourself a sandwich? Oh, I see you did. Oh, yes, mother. I pointed that out first. Okay. Oh, well, okay. I guess you get it from me then. Some of us just have natural sandwich observation tendencies.
So he's like, okay, bye. I'm going to go roll around in money upstairs. So he leaves. And Andra and Dee have a seat. And she's like, well, what are we going to talk about today? Well,
failures,
I just don't want another
you're
spoiled
sleeves.
And you're jealous and you're full of shit combo, because that didn't get us anywhere, mother. Okay? I want to talk about separating companies. And if we're not going to be able to
negotiate.
Yeah, negotiate. I just feel like we don't have to say we don't have to
say. And Dee just looks at her and she's like,
listen, I don't know what you just said, because I was trying to figure out why you have banana peels on your sleeves. I mean, it's like hard night, hard morning. Mm. But anyway.
I'm trying to concentrate, but it looks like Mr. Snuffleupagus is trying to eat me. Are those eyelashes that you're wearing? What the heck?
I'm sorry. Did someone take your jacket and, like, have it knock into a girder? Because I'm just seeing lots of stars around it.
So she's like, I want to talk about separate companies, mother. And she's like, I feel like we don't have the same opinion and we don't listen to each other. And if it means taking my company and starting at zero, then it's, you know, it's stressful for me. She's like,
I think we've both gone through stress, Dandra.
Well, I don't want to feel stressed. I don't want to feel that way about you, mother. And she's like,
Dee's complete unwillingness to even pretend that she has feelings is, it just makes me feel so warm inside.
I know, exactly. I just love the way she stares down Deandra and just is constantly dismissing her with her eyes and that
yes.
those pursed lips.
Like
she's so angry.
And have you noticed that her criticisms in her head seem to be the same ones that Deandra has of Leanne? Crocodile tears? Because here she comes with the tears and Dee's like, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
And there's another thing coming up later that I was like, God, she's really just reenacting her mother's issues. It's like me, you know?
Exactly.
Like, it's like me with eyelashes and hair.
Exactly. We've all been traumatized by that. Yeah. So basically, Deandra is like going on about, you know, she's like, I don't even know how to separate my companies. And like, mother, you have no right to ask me how I feel. You have no right to speak to me so kind. I can't go on just holding on to time, knowing that we're living separate companies.
You know, I dated Willie Nelson once. What a wimp. Okay.
So Dee's like, well, Deandra, if I may call you that, I don't know if you've gone by a different name, like Wizard Warlock Face with those stars and banana peels. Anyway, so Deandra, I'm 77. I woke up one day and I thought to myself, do I really want to continue this battle? This battle that my own daughter is putting me through in my old age? And even though I built this company myself with my own blood, sweat, and tears, with no help from a thankless daughter, I should mention, do I still want to battle over my daughter? Do I still want to sit here and watch everything crumble around me because of my daughter? No.
Just take it. You know, I would have given this company to my true partner, Jesus, but he hadn't signed the papers yet. So just take it, Deandra. Just take it. I don't need it. You are all I have, okay?
I don't need it. I swear. I'll just sit here in the corner and find some crumbs to satisfy my appetite now that my main hunger has been replaced with something far less satisfying. That's fine. Just take it. Take my life's work. It's fine. I don't need it. I guess our relationship's more important.
So when you say I can take it, how much do you mean? 70%? No, 100%, Deandra. She's like, but why now? Why can't you just be happy, Deandra? How about that? Just try being happy. She's like, I'm a little shocked, Mother. I'm just a little shocked. Well, I'm shocked too, but I am happy shocked. Can you
This
tell?
Is a happy shocked face. Look at this face. This is the face of a happy shock. Like, you ever see someone, like, get struck by lightning and they're like, wow, that felt great. That's what my face is. A happy shock.
Well, I gave the keys last year to Deandra, and I thought to myself, she wasn't ready yet. But now I just realize I'm dead soon. Who cares? You know, here's how it could happen. She could either do really great and be successful, LOL, or she could just crash and burn, in which case I'll get to say I tell you so until I take my last breath. It's a win-win for me.
Yeah, you know, last year, you know, when I gave you those keys, I was like, I don't know. I don't think she's ready. But the good news is this year, I think that now you actually are still not ready, but I want to see you fail. And Amelia does too. So we're just going to sit on the sideline, eat some popcorn. Low fat, of course.
Now, do you want me to come on the 700 Club with you?
Honestly, when Dee said that Deandra was going to be taking over 100% of the company, I could have sworn I saw her eyes turn red and see like little flames, like 100%. That's right. Next time Amelia has an issue with her turtle, guess what? You have to deal with it, not me. All right. Guess what? When you come into the office in the morning, it's you who has to make patter with everyone in everyone's cubicle. Okay. That's you now.
Oh, good luck learning Morse code, stupid. So,
next time your VHS tape gets tangled in your TV VCR combo, guess what? That's you who has to fix it.
So Deandra says, I believe in what you built, Mother, and I am so honored to... Okay. Now look, now we can be a great mother-daughter, right? We can have a mother and daughter relationship, okay? Just do what you want to do. She's like, I'm going to see a signature on the dotted line before I believe it. She's like, well, that's my baby right there, okay?
Whew, I feel like 1,000 pounds just been lifted off my shoulders. It must be like what Jeremy feels like when you get off him in bed, huh? Am I right? Mother, is so mean, Mother. I'm just saying, don't be jealous.
Well, I am glad that we have solved this. God, finally, I'm just turning everything over to ding. Oh, I just got a notification from Wells Fargo. Looks like you went over your allowance at some cowboy hat store. I'm taking this company back. You idiot.
Now, Deandra, you are my only child. I have no one else in this world. You're my only thing. And even though you have chosen to make the final years of my life miserable and sad and separated me from the thing that I built and loved so much, I choose you. And I hope you can live with that. You will live with that, won't you?
Oh, so Stephanie and Cruz. Stephanie is taking her kids someplace. Oh, to a dance class.
A dance studio. Yeah.
And I love that Stephanie is such a wuss. She even goes to a dance place called Alpha. It's like, please, please help me. I can't do this without Travis. Where do I even go? What do I even do?
Yeah. So she brings Cruz in to learn hip hop. She brings both her sons, Cruz and I forget the other one's name, Chance. And so basically, Cruz had been feeling a little down in the dumps because of his learning disability, and he was feeling low self-esteem. But he's taken a shine to dancing. So Stephanie wants to really nurture that. So they're gonna do some dance lessons. So we see like a little hip hop lesson. It's fun. It's cute. I would like to say for the record that Cruz is a better dancer than I am. So congratulations, Cruz. You have advanced past me. And everything's going fine. And Stephanie is like, you know, voicing concerns about like, what do I do without Travis? I'm just a people pleaser. I have to be a leader. I don't know how to do it. And then we see Chance. He tears off Cruz's shirt. You know, they're like roughhousing, but it's like a pretty dick move for one brother to do to another. And of course, little Cruz starts to cry because he's embarrassed and sad and mad. And Stephanie's version of disciplining is like, that's mean. You shouldn't do that. No, it's mean.
I don't like that. And, I don't like that. We're not going to do that. You guys are going to be best friends, right? Just be best friends, right? Look, I brought you here to dance class. You know, I thought it would help with your depression. Look, you're not the whitest person in the world. I am.
Yeah.
Hip hop.
Hooray.
Pass that touch, am I right? Pass that touch.
So yeah, so basically it was just a scene showing that Stephanie is a pushover for her kids, and she's afraid that once Travis goes out of town, it's just going to be full on hell in the household, which probably will be. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we go to Leanne talking to her dog, Carly. She's just sitting there on the couch talking to her dog. She's like, can you hear me? I just saw you look at me. Am I bothering you? Am I boring you? Won't talk about the wedding.
Can't you? You can hear me. And then it cuts to Carly just sitting there, and Carly's giving Leanne such a side eye. I was like, wow. I get the feeling that Carly is the Leanne of dogs. Carly's like, woof, this bitch won't stop talking to me. Woof, woof.
Weren't you texting me back, Carly?
They're just paws, but they work quite well. Woof, woof.
So Cameron calls. She's like, hi, girl. She's like, hey, girl, I'm looking at wedding stuff, and I can feel my eyes crossing. It's just so difficult. Wedding, 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 wedding. One come to my wedding. How many people should I invite? This is so fun. I'm a girl.
Yeah. So Cam's like, yeah, come on over, girl. We're going to be doing, like, it's like a bring your dog, and we're going to paint our dog's painting party. Leanne's like, we're going to paint our dogs. I got pink curly. Carly won't like that. Carly's like, woof, I won't like that. And so Cam's like, no, we're going to paint on canvases, or as they say in Spanish, el burritos.
Also, we're inviting kids. And Leanne goes, everyone's kids, which I think is what America was thinking as well. And you know who she
yes.
means.
Yes, exactly. And then Leanne goes, I am 100% sure I scare children, just my mere presence. I was like, I think it's adults too. It goes across all age groups. It's like Leanne Locken.
So Rich comes in and he's like, she's like, have you thought about your tux? He's like, what about the one I own, honey? It's like, you need a new one. Have you been married in that old one? He's like, well, I haven't been married in this one. I wouldn't fit in it if it was one of my wedding tuxes. God, I was thin back then. Jesus, I was sexy. God, all my best years spent with those other ladies. She's like, damn it, Rich!
Carly's like, woof! You better get a new tux, woof, woof!
He's like, well, look at that. Carly just texted me back. Damn it, Rich!
Leanne's like, so, are you going to be standing at the front of the altar? Are you going to be at the front? What, are you going to walk in? Are you going to be already up there? And he's like, well, usually when I get married, I'm already down there. Probably just gives him such dog side eye from that comment.
I love that he's just cracking himself up. He loves fucking with Leanne. Also, it just goes to prove the old adage, you know, you give a man a new eye patch and suddenly he's on top of the world. I mean, he got the cutest eye patch. It's so fashionable. And now look at his confidence. He's like, I'm sticking my penis in whatever I want.
Fresh eye patch, you know?
Yep.
So Leanne's like, well, I've decided to invite 130 people on my list. How many are on yours? He's like, 30, and that's being liberal. She's like, okay, great. So we'll plan for 200. I'm like, wait, what? Huh? You know, because we're probably going to forget about 40 people. I guarantee it.
Well, I'm looking at it being on paper about $250,000. It's like, whoa. He's like, oh, just pick my chair, honey. Like, well, this hurts because I was Dandra's best woman, and I just don't think she wants to be here for me. And he's like, well, honey, you know, sometimes people just don't want you to talk to them, and if you keep talking to them, that's called stalking.
Yeah. And Leanne is in full melodramatic mode. She's like, I just don't know where I stand with Deandra. I mean, I can feel my heart cracking. It is cracking right now. He's like, no, you're actually got my femur. You got my femur. Oh, sorry, Rich.
So he makes her call Deandra. And, you know, Deandra's being shady because it rings one time and then goes to voicemail, which means decline, mother. So she's like, I just feel like that was my family. That was my family. Now I don't have a family. Who's going to put me up on the thing that someone throws a ball at to make me dunk in the water?
Who's going to throw rice in my car? Who's going to ride?
So he's like, yes, well, she said, he's like, well, honey, you have a family and you're going to be fine. This is what should I call it? Stupid girl stuff. She's like, well, stupid girl stuff hurts.
I love too hard. I'm a hard lover. Look at me. Look at the way I love Carly. Aren't I loving too hard? Mm. Carly's like,
well, it's okay to love hard, but if you're not getting it back, just lay back. It'll settle. I'm like, okay, stop using divorce terms.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then Carrie and Mark and their struggle storyline.
Yeah.
Mark so sitting there in his robe. Gross. Mark, you're gross. Okay?
It's the morning. They're there with Zuri. And Carrie is talking about how she can't wait to move back in the house because there's a potential that they can move in earlier once the floors are put in and there's some paint. Because she does not want to live in this house when her parents come back from the desert. Because, you know, it's like living in a museum where the people who own the museum are looking at you, etc. So she has this whole, like, parental trauma that she is still reeling from.
Yeah, because she had to, like, put things away. She's like,
yeah.
I would put a glass in the wrong spot and get disciplined. So it was pretty hard growing up. It was difficult. Like, so you had to put your clothes away? Oh, my God, yeah. The trauma!
From now on, when someone tells me to put a glass away, I'm going to immediately tell someone else where the glass was put. That's what it is. Transparency.
It's just so sad watching her basically repeat this pattern by marrying the most anal person in the world, Mark.
Yeah.
And not even seeing it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Because everything she's describing is Mark, you know?
Yeah, you're right. It's totally true. So they decide to look at some photo albums to show Zuri, her cousins, in Copenhagen. Because that's where all her cousins live in Denmark. We're sort of setting up the cast trip that's coming down the pike. My fingers are crossed that one of her cousins is Caroline Fleming, so that way we can get the return appearance of Caroline Fleming on Bravo.
She's probably an O'Toole. She's going to find the O'Tooles in Denmark.
You're right. So, are you an O'Toole?
Are you an O'Toole?
So, Carrie is once again, like, foisting the storyline on us about, like, oh, you know, I didn't really have a good relationship with my father, or, you know, like, we didn't really have, I want these, like, father-daughter moments, and I never really had them, so I want to go to Denmark, and I kind of feel like if I go to Denmark, I'll have a good relationship with my cousins, and then use that to have a good relationship with my dad. I was like, this does not sound, yeah, I don't understand the logic.
You're leaving your dad's house before he comes home to go to Denmark to meet cousins he probably doesn't even know. Like, this makes no sense, but I'm glad you're going to Denmark. Please don't make me watch your solo storyline anymore, because frankly, it's painful, okay? And I like you, Carrie, but Jesus Christ. Zuri's the best thing in this. She kisses a picture, because Carrie's like, do you want to see pictures? She's like, not really, mother. So she shows her and she's like, that is pretty, and kisses it. And I just want to save Zuri. I want to, like, drive over there, throw her in the trunk of my car, and find her a decent home, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to save her, because I feel like she's doing really well. Just the way that she bosses everyone around at the dog painting thing, I was like, you know what? This kid's being raised right. She's terrifying all the little boys, you know? It's wonderful. Yeah. So speaking of which, we then go over to this event, and Cameron shows up, and she puts her dog, Louie, in, like, a stroller. She's like, little dogs need strollers because they need to feel protected. Also, little dogs get really tired walking long distances because they've got little feet. I'm like, you're literally going from your car into a building and up an elevator. You're not, like, trekking from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia.
Yeah, and the music, it's like they wrote her a new theme just for Cameron. It's a groovy idiot music. It's like, doom, doom, doo-doo-doo.
I totally noticed that. I was like, there's some special Cameron music going on.
It's like, is it a detective? Or is it just a blonde lady trying to sell dog food? Or just a complete moron? We don't know. Let's put it all on the song.
Yeah, like, yeah. Let's many different layers. It works in so many different ways. So they get up. She gets upstairs, and Adam from Blueprint is there. Blueprint, which is owned by Comcast. How convenient.
They're all over everything, man. Jeez.
Yeah.
So he's going to be the leader of the class. Also, adorable. Love you, Adam.
Yes,
call me.
Exactly. This company, Blueprint, has a painter that actually can come and teach everyone how to paint their dog. Cameron's like, unsolicited testimony for this Blueprint services, which include Craftsy, by the way.
Natural. Totally natural. So she's like, we have to get this party set up, because if you don't have your party set up right, then your vibe is bad at the beginning of the party. That's horrible elefantonis picante.
I'm really into hosting parties. I love a good party, and I don't want the vibe wrong at a party.
I heard classical music is very good for kids and dogs, so I ordered a string quartet, and there's only three people. She's like, does quartet mean four? I need my Españolas diccionarios.
All I see is a trio and not a quartet. I ordered a quartet.
So Dander comes. She's like, all right, what are we doing? Got my little dogs.
You look darling. You look real darling. Thanks, girl. So why is there a trio here? We were advertised a quartet. Why is there a trio? And also, why is there a trio in the first place? Anyway, what's this classical music doing here? I only recognize violins if they're part of a fiddle factory.
So then she's got her little dogs, Dixie and Gypsy. And Cameron's like, I just feel today we can do something that I love to do. Torture, trailer trash. No, I was an art major. Dan was like, you never told us that. No one ever asked me.
Including the university. No one ever knew. Basically, I was an art major because I kept walking around museums and saying, wow, that art is so major.
So Leanne comes in with her dog, and Carly immediately grabs a glass with her teeth and, like, throws it against a wall.
Speak the truth, woof!
And Dandra's like, I haven't responded to Leanne, because I need time to reflect, and my strategy today is to basically ignore her.
Yeah, that's nice.
What is Dandra mad about again? I just can't with this storyline. Stop being mean. You two need to be friends, okay? I don't even care who's wrong. You two need to be friends. No one wants you to watch you traipsing around as a third wheel for Brandy and fucking Stephanie, okay?
I know. She's mad because she feels that Leanne is not being forthright about why she and Rich have not gotten married. And then it was further exacerbated when Leanne told Carrie that Deandra only has $200 in her bank account and humiliated Deandra. And now she's just furious and not talking to Leanne, much in the same way that her mother did not talk to her for the past 4 weeks. So,
True. Well, but she got a company out of it. So, you see, it's all Dee's fault the day.
It always comes down to Dee. Yeah. So, I liked when Leanne entered the party because she's like, well, here I am, Leanne Locken, walking into a room. Nothing's going to go wrong here. And then she, like, hears the classical music playing. She's like, whoa! Whoa! What's going on here? What are those three gentlemen doing there with those sticks and wooden things? What's going on here? It's like very, very startled by the fanciness.
So now Brandy's super dramatic storyline of having to get a nanny. It is so hard. I just can't let other people help me.
I know. But I was very grateful that they didn't make us sit through endless scenes of nanny auditions, because that's also a tired trope on Bravo. Like, ooh, who's going to be the nanny or who's going to be the assistant? I'm glad it just was like, okay, we hired this bitch. Here's the baby. He's teething. Take care of it. I'm off to go paint some dogs.
When you finally find someone that won't give Brian a boner, you just thank Jesus. So this girl comes in, she's great with kids or whatever, and so Brandy's like, well, okay, I'm gonna go now. She keeps staring at the baby. She's like, I don't want to wake him, but he might cry when I leave. Like, poking the baby in the head. Why is he crying?
Yeah, so Brandy does not bring her dog Sugar because Sugar doesn't get along with other dogs, kind of like Leanne. So then we go back to the event, and so all the kids have shown up. Pretty much everyone has shown up except for Brandy. Stephanie is there. Stephanie didn't bring Biscuit, which I feel like was rude. I feel like this was a very Biscuit friendly event, and she's like, well, I can either bring Biscuit or the kids, so I chose the kids. I'm like, girl, it's called a leash. Put them on your children and bring Biscuit.
Yeah, exactly. So the kids were hilarious in this. The kid drama was really good.
This is one of the rare times where the kids on a Bravo show were, like, absolutely hilarious.
Even Brandy's. I mean,
Brandy's
kids are, like, winning their way into my heart. They are hilarious.
I know.
So
I
we start with
also.
Cameron talking like a kid because she's the host. And so Cameron's one of those people who's always hosting a party at Chuck E. Cheese, you know. Isn't this fun? We're gonna paint! It's like something being thrown up really slowly and then coming down really slowly.
But you know that she's always like, hello, I'd like to speak with Charles Edward Cheese, please. I'd like to make a reservation at his restaurant.
I understand that in our families, Mr. Cheese, women don't normally have jobs. But this choose is mine.
Choose your ball pits carefully.
It's nice to do something with children so I don't have to leave them with the nanny. I'm like, the nanny is right behind you. I love this. Is Cameron has the dream life. This is how I want to raise my kids. It's like, I even brought the nanny. It's called being a good mother, okay?
I have to say the dogs were also cracking me up because we didn't mention this, but when Leanne showed up with Carly, I think it was Deandra's dogs that were like tied up to some cart. They just like went apeshit over Carly and started running towards Carly and started dragging this big ass cart of paints. And just the side of this cart being dragged by these two little dogs, I was just like cracking up. And there was a shot later on of Carly. Carly is like also really winning her way into my heart because there was a shot at one point Carly was just sort of like trotting across the floor with her leash just like behind her, just like, oh, I'm gonna kill all these dogs. I'm gonna kill all of them soon. Like, she just had this look like, all these fucking little dogs, this is my party now. You know what shot I'm talking about?
Yes, because that's Bueller when he goes in somewhere and he's like always trying to start shit, but he like marks the perimeter like she did. He's just like trotting around the perimeter looking around with a big smile on his face like, which one should I eat first?
Yeah. So then also what was funny was Zuri and Cruz, like, they pair up immediately. And speaking of carts, they find a cart to push. And she's like, okay, I'm going to show you how to push a cart. And you're going to follow me. And Cruz is like, okay, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
She goes, I like that pink. That's my favorite color. And he's like, can I push it? She's like, no.
I'm the one who pushes the cards around here.
So then we get to Brandy, who's picking her kids up from school, and Brooklyn, as usual, is just throwing a temper tantrum. She's like, I want to go home. I'm overheated.
She's like, I'm hot. I guess because she was wearing like a little sweatshirt or something. She's like, I'm hot. hot. I'm hot. I'm getting overheated. I'm getting overheated. Which is also like me every single night in bed. That's like.
And then she keeps hitting the GoPros in the car. She like hits it so it's facing down. And then they fix it. And then the other one's like eating the GoPro. She's like licking it and like trying to swallow it.
It was like watching something from Animal Planet. It was like. You know, the ferret in the cage. I was like, what is happening in the backseat? And Brittany's like, stop it. No, quiet down. And like, normally, you know me. Normally, I'm like, these kids need to be disciplined. I get on my whole, you know, like, I get on my whole soapbox, even though I don't have children and don't know anything about it. But I'm like, they need to be disciplined. But I was honestly laughing so hard because they were being like so ridiculous in a way that was like hilariously unreasonable. Like, I'm hot. She's like, well, turn on the air conditioning. I don't want the air conditioning. And like normally I'd be like, you better take that air conditioning. But instead I was like, these bitches. And they're like the air condition, like, you know, playing with those cameras. I was like, this is like pure madness happening in the backseat. And I could not stop laughing.
The GoPro thing was cracking me up. And I didn't even go look online yet to see how much Brandy's getting yelled at. Because she goes, thank God I have a nanny. Because if I had to drive these two little bitches and Bruin, I'd kill myself.
I know. That was like some season one Brandy shit. Like, I laughed.
Calling her kids bitches was so funny. And you know the internet's like, fuck her!
I know, internet is ruthless.
Yeah.
So so then we go back but this is we go back to the painting and everything, and Cameron's talking about her painting. She goes, this is kind of bustful, but I kind of like my painting the best.
And then Leanne's like, uh-oh, someone's taking a dump.
Louis's taking a dump, Cameron, and it is not hard. It's juicy.
Yeah.
Real juicy. And then they show this, like, juicy shit right next to the cellists.
It's like the Titanic. They just keep playing as the ship's going down.
They're like, I have to keep playing, otherwise, to keep myself from remembering that I went to Juilliard, and here I am now, playing this next to a pile of dog shit in Dallas.
And Hilton goes over to Cruz, and she goes, why don't you forget about Zuri and paint on your own?
He's like, and he goes, I have to tell her. I was like, the drama going on with these children is so next level.
And then Leanne, of course, are these dog biscuits over here? You, damn it, I had a dog biscuit.
Now I have a question. Are we supposed to be drinking champagne out of this bowl here? Or is this the bowl for the, it's for the dogs? Mm-hmm. Okay, I may have just had some champagne out of the dog bowl. Okay.
Now, I just pooped over by that chalice. That's where I was supposed to poop, right?
It was real juicy.
So Stephanie and Brandy are talking, and Stephanie's trying to be positive because Brandy, you know, does not take anything well, really. And so Stephanie's like trying to make it sound fun, like hip-hop class with her kids. She's like,
wow, you'll never believe this. Nah. Leanne, like, invited me to lunch, and I thought, like, gosh, who would have thought? Nah, isn't that great? It's great, like, right? It's great.
Who would have thought, like a year ago, who would have thought this would happen? Yeah, you just see Brandy, like, just gritting her teeth and like, yes, I'm so happy for you. Excuse me, I'm just going to go drop the kids off by the cellist. Excuse me one second.
Unlike some people, I'm not going to tell her who to be friends with. I'll let her figure it out on her own.
And so Leanne's just alone watching everyone talk.
Yes, just staring. Leanne's giving that death stare, specifically to Carrie and Deandra chatting. She's like,
So she goes up to Carrie. She's like, can I pull you aside? And Carrie's like, great. This sounds awesome. I would love to. Awesome.
Good, because I want to chop off your ear and make your artwork more valuable.
Are you trying to draw two dogs, or are you just that cross-eyed? So she's like, I don't know how y'all do it with this baby making. This is ridiculous. And Carrie's like, yeah, it's a lot of stimulation. She goes, okay, great, good baby talk. Now, since you said you'd be honest about everything and you'd tattletale on anybody who said anything, has anybody said anything to me? Because you said you were going to tattletale. Nobody said nothing to me.
Yeah, and Carrie's like, well, she says, well, you said, has anyone said anything about me? Because you said you said, you know? And so Carrie's like, well, I don't know about that. Meaning that, like, I'm sorry, because Leanne was like, no one said anything about me, right? And Carrie's like, Well, I don't know about that. And she's like, you know, I'm not trying to be a gossip, you know, so I'm not going to immediately run and tell someone. But if they ask me, I'll gossip to them. Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, sure. She goes, okay,
I'll be a passive gossip.
Here's the breakdown. Stephanie said you're nice. Cam hasn't said anything.
And Lan goes like, she's like, Lan's like smiling like, yes, yes, 1-1.
Steph says you're nice. Cam basically can barely talk. Like, I don't know what the fuck she's saying. Like, is she even alive or is she just like a stick with pink on it? Okay. Like, Brandy said that you're in Cam's ear a bit. She's like, about what? Well, just because, like, her behavior's off towards me and Dandra. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Like, seriously, I don't know. I don't want to get in the middle. And she's like, well, I know Brandy always blames me. And you know what? I said, like, maybe that's okay. Yeah, it's okay. I agree. Like, actually, I agree. It's so weird. It's like this fight. It's like not fight. They're talking like they're fighting, but they're not fighting.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's this moment where Carrie goes, I just want to give you credit, and I think I deserve a little credit, too. And I was like, what? I don't understand. I don't follow.
I think she's saying she wants to give Leanne credit for trying to, like, talk it out instead of screaming at people. And Leanne should give her credit for talking to Leanne instead of making it a big... I mean, I don't know. I'm just projecting, you know, I don't know what it meant either. And so Leanne's like, okay, credit. But then she tells us, she goes, so wait, you want credit for being a good friend to me by betraying Brandy? You know, they really should have an Olympics for throwing each other under the bus.
I'm like, well, you just threw Carrie under the bus because you asked her to basically betray Brandy, and she did it for you, and now you're throwing her under the bus for throwing Brandy under the bus. A lot of buses getting thrown under. So then Leanne goes and punches a hole through Brandy's canvas, and then Brandy is going to leave, and of course, Brooklyn's like, can we come back?
Yeah.
Damn kids. Because, of course, classic kids. Classic kids.
Also, big twist, Brandy's kids are very talented. I was like, wow, look at that. They're actually good. They're like, Mom, we found a purpose in life. She's like, nope, not going to happen. No, here's some crayons. Go back in that box I keep
here,
you
make
guys
more
in.
Brownies. Yeah. So then, I don't know if you noticed this, that when Carrie was leaving, she gave a very long hug to the blueprint guy. It was a very long extended hug.
I did notice that.
With a little pat on the back from both of them. I was like, okay, they're banging after this.
Yeah, I did get that impression as well. So then Leanne's like, it's so quiet. This is the level of noise at my house. Those kids, it's like birth control on steroids. Not that I'm going to pop one out. I mean, I'm 50. Cameron's like, you never know.
It could be a miracle. No, that wouldn't be a miracle for me. But it could be a miracle. It won't be a miracle for me, I said.
It could be a Kenya miracle. Okay. And,
look at all this amazing artwork. I hope we find some good distributors for this artwork.
So Dandra is like, this is tenuous, okay? It's like we're strangers, and I'm feeling sad. Like I've lost a friend. Well, fucking call her back. For Christ's sake, you two.
Yeah, I mean, this all switched in Denver. And, like, I mean, truly, she was mad at Liam, but that's what their relationship was, about the yelling about the wedding. But it really was in Denver, or in Colorado, Beaver Creek, where Deandra suddenly started gravitating towards Brandy. So honestly, like, you can complain about, like, you feel like you've lost a friend, but you're the one who's more kind of turned away from Leanne. I get that impression, you know?
Yeah, because she has since the beginning of the season, where she's like, you need to get your shit together. So then the very next scene is them having lunch the next day, and Deandra, it's like, we get that you're depressed, I guess, but you don't have to wear a depression hat.
Yeah, you don't have to wear something like a cloche hat from the 20s. She's like, look at me. I'm Zelda. Zelda Fitzgerald.
I am waiting in the cheese line. So, Leanne...
I'm wearing a cloche hat and some fuchsia tassels, and you will know I am depressed. Grapes of Wrath. The Deandra's of Wrath.
So she's like, the day after the party, guess who called? Praise be to Jesus, it's Deandra. So they sit down. She's like, so I heard you were having a meeting with your mom. How'd that go? She's like, well, I haven't told anybody because the paperwork isn't signed. So I'll believe it when I see it, just like your marriage. Okay.
Yeah. And also, by the way, Deandra's like, she says that she hopes Leanne is going to repair her friendship. Like, she says, I'm just hoping that, like, when Leanne shows up, that she is going to want to she's going to try to repair our friendship. I'm like, yeah, Leanne should repair, because what she's, you know, she shouldn't have gossiped about, like, your bank account. But, like, it's not just Leanne. Like, you are, like, you're harping on her about the stupid wedding. Like, who cares? It's none of your business. Let them have their relationship.
Yeah, so they start talking about this relationship, and Leanne's like, it's ripped me to shreds. And Dandra's like, well, maybe there's some things you can explain. When I talk to you about things, and you tell me what's good, nothing you're upset about, and then you don't say you're upset about anything, and I know you're upset about something, so why don't you just be honest with me, Leanne? And yeah. Leanne's like, well, then ask the right questions, which...
Right, very Cameron and her art major. Yeah. So Deandra's like, okay, so when are you going to get married? Is it going to be this year? Is it going to be this year? 2020, 2025, 2030, 2035, 2040? I can keep going. It goes forever, honestly. When are we talking about? And Leanne's like, well, I think it's going to be September, spring, summer. I think that's when it's going to be, September, spring, summer.
We're going to call it a jogger wedding. And Deandra's like, oh, well. Merry-go-round continues. What's the truth? Is it November or the spring? They are 2 months apart. That is a big difference, Leanne.
God forbid you're thinking about two different venues and one is available in November and one is available in April. God forbid.
Yeah, so then we get down to the meat of the issue. She's like, I know you're worried because Rich has been married before. Do you feel like he's a mayor to you? And she's like, well, I mean, he's left before. I don't know. She's like,
well, Is that a fear you have?
Yes.
Well, do you think he's faithful?
Ding, ding, ding. That's all Deandra has wanted to say this whole time is this conversation. And thank you, we've called it from the beginning. She's just basically wanting to bring up affairs.
Yeah, exactly. She's been working her way to get to this.
Nailed
and,
it.
Yeah, and so Leanne's like, he's faithful. I mean, he's at home all the time. I'm the one who goes out. I mean, if anyone would think anyone's unfaithful, it'd be me. I mean, I'm the one who's going out. I mean, whatever. And then that's when, I wanted to say Jacqueline. I don't know why. Deandra was like, you know, it's like, see, my last husband, well, the last guy I was with, you know, we always said we're going to get married, but we always had separate lives. So we didn't do that. We had separate lives and we never got married and everything. So basically, like, why are you me and my old relationship? Why are you me? Why? I was like, relax.
Yeah.
Relax.
I knew he cheated on me, but I let it happen. I'm like, okay, so now you're mad about your own relationship.
Yeah.
And so she's saying you guys have separate lives. Well, Leanne's always out every night with gays or, like, you know, Bravo parties or whatever the hell she does. Like, all you need to do is look at Instagram to see that that's true. But her argument is like, well, why would I drag him along if he doesn't want to go? Who cares? He's just sitting at home.
Yeah.
And Deandra's like, well, Jeremy told me that y'all spend time at different places at night. And she's like, well, he stays at home. I'm not going to drag him. She goes, well, she's like, well, there are rumors about him being with other women. She's like, Leanne does not strangle her. She does not grab her by the turkey neck and twist. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised.
Yeah, but she was mad because she was like, well, I can't believe that Deandra make this accusatory, inflammatory comment. And guess what? I will claw her eyes out next time we paint dogs. That's for sure.
Well, I think something's happening.
She's like, nothing's happening.
Yes, there is.
No, there's not. So then it's like tension, tension, dun, dun, dun. Next week, vagina lasering.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, certain things never go away. Either way, I was cracking up during this episode. It was so funny. I love Dallas. I hope people are who are on the fence about watching Dallas or who only like listen to our podcast but don't watch Dallas, I hope they reconsider because it's so good. It's so entertaining. And I don't know what gives it its special quality because it's not like so much happened this episode, but sometimes when a cast has a chemistry and the cast and you feel like they are giving themselves over to production and like not trying to like control their own personas too much, you get great TV, even when nothing happens.
Yeah. I mean, a Cameron party and a Mama D episode. I'm in.
So good. So good.
So, go get your tickets. We'll be doing this Real Housewives of Dallas next Thursday in New York City, followed by Real Housewives of New York on Friday, and then November in Seattle, December in Nashville, and January, the Crappy Awards. Get your tickets this Friday. Also, go get your Hey Betch t-shirts over at WatchItCrappins.com as well as your ticket links. Okay, everybody?
Yeah, we'll talk to you manana.
Bye.
Bye.
Hosting on Airbnb is easy. I have total control of my home and my time.
So, if I wanted to, I could just host every other weekend. Or, when I happen to be away with work.
Or just the August bank holiday weekend.
But not on a full moon. Or even a leap year.
Your house. Your rules. Become a host today on Airbnb.
Hi, this is Ella from the Deliciously Ella podcast, which is currently in partnership with Dell and Microsoft. Windows 10 Pro lets you focus on running your business instead of your IT. Dell's small business technology advisors give you the tech, advice, and one-to-one partnership to fuel your business growth. Having grown our business from nothing, I know how valuable that good, reliable advice is. To find out more about our business, come and have a listen to the Deliciously Ella podcast.